All right, let me just quickly share with you what I preached this morning, and I'll give you the message tonight. I shared this with your pastor here last week, but God laid on my heart this phrase that I found very early in the morning. Very early in the morning. I got to do some research, and I discovered it's in the Bible only three times. It's in the book of Daniel, it's in the book of Mark, and it's in the book of Luke. You say, well, that has to do with the resurrection, and I entitled it Too Late, you know. The ladies came to the tomb too late. But you know where it's found in the Old Testament? Daniel chapter 6. When King Darius rose up early in the morning to check on Daniel. And you know what the story of Daniel is? It's a story of the type of Christ. He was buried and he rose again. If that doesn't get you excited, nothing will. But it's only in the Bible three times, very early in the morning. That just proves to me that I don't have to worry about, is this the Word of God? I know it is. I went to a Bible college that made you question, where is the Bible? But I settled that. I know where it's at. All right, this evening I'd like you to turn to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. There's some events in the Bible that are humorous. Just like the story of Esther when Haman, that prepared the gallows for Mordecai, ended up getting hung himself. There's some scriptures that seem to be humorous. There's others that seem to be serious. But tonight I want to take you to a portion of scripture that is disturbing. It is disturbing. And I'm not only going to give you the scripture here, but I'm going to apply it to each of our hearts and lives tonight. Numbers chapter 32. Let's stand together. We're just going to read the first five verses here. Numbers chapter 32. Now, by the way, I used to jump pews. I don't do that anymore. And you think I'm kidding. I'm really not. I used to have a whole lot more energy than I do now. So you don't have to worry about me jumping over you. All right. Numbers chapter 32, beginning verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, a Atarath, Dibon, Jazer, and Nimrah, and Heshbon, and Eleah, and Sheban, and Nebo, and Beon. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Man, if there's that doesn't shock you, I don't know what will. But look at those last words. Bring us not over Jordan. The Jordan River in the Bible, and songwriters, use it, is a picture of heaven. These folks didn't want to go to heaven. I'm just throwing that out. I'm going to preach to you tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you for all that you've done. Lord, you give me this message, and I believe we can all use it tonight. And you want us to be soft so that you can mold and make us after your will. So, Holy Spirit, take over my life. Let me be what I need to be for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As way of introduction, the first thing I want you to notice is there's two tribes. Now, remember, there was actually 12 tribes of Israel. There's two that come to the forefront right here. The tribe of Reuben. Let's remember, we're not talking about Reuben. We're talking about his descendants. It's been a long 40 years in the wilderness. So Reuben himself has passed away, but his descendants. Secondly, Gad. But thirdly, when you slip down to verse 33, you'll find there's a third group that joined them. And it's the tribe of Manasseh. I had to ask myself the question, and I'd like to ask you tonight. Did Reuben and Gad entice Manasseh to join them? You know, the sad thing is when somebody wants to cause problems, they always have a tendency of finding somebody to join in with them. So actually, there's three tribes that didn't want to go into the promised land. Reuben and Gad and Manasseh. Keeping that in mind, I think they either lost their hymn book or the page was torn out of the hymn book they had, because my mind goes back to this song. When I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died for my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Isn't that a great promise? I'm afraid I don't have much more time, but I'm ready to cross Jordan, and I know Jesus will be waiting there. The first thing I want you to notice tonight is the fact that these tribes were well blessed. Well blessed. Notice it says very simply, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had very great multitude of cattle. I usually like to really dig in a little bit in my thinking, but notice it didn't say they had a great amount of cattle. It says very great. They were extremely blessed. And I'm here to tell you tonight that you and I have been extremely blessed. My pet peeve is to mention about the slogan, God Bless America. That boils my blood. I think it's blasphemous. Because God has blessed America. I mean, we have seen God pour His heart out to our country. When I went to school, everybody stood and saluted and gave the pledge to the American flag, and they weren't ashamed to say, under God. The teacher led in prayer before you began. I'm talking about the public school. We used to take a stand against abortion because it's plainly murder. The queers used to hide. Man, you can't turn a corner anymore without bumping into one. God has been so good to us in our country. But listen, we have been blessed of God, and I can't help but believe that the carpet's soon to be pulled out from under us. God didn't put up with Sodom and Gomorrah, and He's not going to put up with our country. I can even remember where you couldn't find a business open on Sunday. God is so good. His mercy and grace was there for these tribes of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh. They obviously thought they had found God's will. Did you notice? They were herdsmen. They took care of cattle. And I'm here to say, if that's what God called them to do, praise God. If that's not what God called them to do, they're in hot water. They'll have to stand before God one day and give an account. I don't know how God ever used me, but somehow He did. I was an introvert when I grew up. I couldn't look people in the eye. I couldn't stand before a group. If I had homework, my mother said, go to your room until your homework's done. I had nobody to help me. In class, I was always the one that would say, teacher, could you just repeat that one more? No, we're going on. You had enough time. But God knows how to take something that's been thrown away and make it over again. I'm so glad for that. Somehow He taught me how to study. Somehow He gave me some good principles. When I went to Bible college, I took a part-time job, and I realized that I was wasting the extra time I had. So I took a full-time job all the way through 5 years of Bible college, and I ended up making A's and B's. When I got my master's degree, I made straight A's. I am not bright. I'm here to tell you that God can take nothing and make something out of them. I don't know if you're getting anything out of this tonight, but the Spirit just give me these things and I want to share them with you. The will of God. Herdsmen. And God had blessed in a tremendous way. Psalm 68 and verse 19 needs to come to our memory. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And God has loaded us with benefits. The second thing I want you to notice is what their eyes beheld. What their eyes beheld. And when they saw the land of Jezer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. That sort of sounds okay. But 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We are not to make judgments according to what we see. What we see can fool us. Go back with me to the Garden of Eden. We all know that God made it very plain that you can eat of any tree in the garden, but not the tree that's in the middle of the garden. That's God's. That's the tithing tree. That belongs to Him. And you're not to touch it, because the day that you you partake of it, you'll surely die. Now, in case you don't recall this, or maybe you've never been taught this, so let me share something with you. Eve did not get that from God. You know where she got it from? Her husband. God said that to her husband. And the husband is to be the preacher in the home. And he got Eve aside one night and said, "Now, Eve, let me explain something that God shared with me. We can eat of any tree in the garden, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So she heard it from her husband. When that old serpent showed up, he did everything he could to get her attention away from the Word of God and to start looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When she started looking at that fruit, eventually she craved it. Eventually she partook of it. And the sad thing is, her husband standing with her, she gave it to him and he partook of it. You know what the problem was? Eyes. Eve, the second that the serpent spoke, Eve should have turned away. Our eyes can deceive us. I don't know about you, but every day I've got to pray that prayer. Lord, crucify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Secondly, the great story of Abraham and Lot. Their herdsmen had problems getting along and they were striving with each other because they had so much cattle. Finally, one day, Abram's, who by the way is the godly leader, and Abraham said, "Lot, we can't go this way any longer. We need to divide. And so you pick whatever area you want, and I'll take whatever remains, and therefore we won't have any problems with our herdsmen." So Lot began to look with his eyes, and he chose the well-watered plain, and of course we know he ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. But let me ask you this. How many cattle did Lot have when he came out of Sodom and Gomorrah? And who had the cattle that was flourishing? Abraham. See, it doesn't matter what something looks like. Is it God's will? And if God sends you to the desert like he did Philip in the eunuch, if God sends you there, he's going to give you a soul. And Philip was able to lead the eunuch to the Lord that took the gospel back to the African nation. It looked appealing, but it also demonstrates selfish thoughts. They weren't thinking about their brothers and sisters, weren't thinking about their family in particular, they were thinking about themselves and the trade or the profession that they had. I don't see anyone asking the Lord's permission. I think it was last week, y'all sang a tremendous little hymn. And we open every service with a chorus once a month. And the chorus that y'all sang was this. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me and fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. I don't see any of the Reubenites and the Gadites and the Manassehites. I guess that's how you pronounce it. I don't see them asking God's opinion. I don't see them begging for the Spirit of God to direct them. They depended totally upon their eyes. Jeremiah 33 encourages all of us, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God always takes care of his creatures. By the way, there was only two decisions. Stay on this side of Jordan or cross over and go into the promised land. I don't know if there's any Catholics here tonight, but there's no purgatory. It's either heaven or hell. And if you go to hell, you're there permanently. God doesn't fail. He had a special place already prepared for Reuben and the Gadites and Manasseh. He had a place in the promised land. I know they wanted to stay on this side of Jordan, but listen, God said very plainly, for instance, in John 14, beginning in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Do you think God was shorthanded and having a place for these three tribes? No. I'm not sure where it is. God's word doesn't say, and we're not to try and figure it out, but God had a place on the other side of Jordan for these three tribes. Then I noticed the personal request. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying. So they went to their leaders. May I remind you that if you go to your leader in honesty and truth, he represents God. And what were they doing? They were telling God to change his mind. They were so close to the crossing. I like what Paul could say. These folks couldn't say it, but Paul could. 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but also to them that love his appearing. The Reubenites and Gadites and the tribe of Manasseh should have been able to say the same thing, but they didn't cross the Jordan with the rest as far as accomplishing the end of the journey. They were impatient with God's will. So close. That was the problem Saul had in the Old Testament, remember? He was waiting on Samuel and figured Samuel was way too late. So he went ahead and offered an offering on the altar, which was none of his business. Impatient. I think about Aaron and Israel. Impatient that Moses has spent 40 days and nights with God and bringing the Ten Commandments down from the mountain, but they went ahead and made their own God That's another sermon I preached. That Aaron, he had to be some rascal. I know there's a lot of good things to find about Aaron, but to try and convince his brother that he took the earrings and jewelry from the people and threw them in the fire and out jumped this cat. No, you check it out. He was a professional engraver. These three tribes were willing to accept second place. That's not God's desire for His children. God wants you to take the finish line. God wants you to receive the rewards coming to you. He wants you to get first place. Philippians 3:14. Again, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize of the high calling is first place. They had a desire without faith. But the problem is, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now when we come to verse 3, I see human reasoning. We don't need to read all those names right there. But verse 4 says, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. All right, they're talking about land that God had designed, that God had blessed, that God had sent nutrients in, and it was a good land. And at one time, all those cities had people that believed in God. But somewhere down the line, they turned to idol worship. And of course, when they turned to idol worship, they became strangers to the children of Israel. And eventually, God had to destroy them. But God designed their country, He blessed their country, and God ended up conquering their country for the children of Israel. Because God is willing to fight for each of us. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 27 says, I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Again, keep in mind, way back yonder, people knew who the true and living God was, but they chose idols. Now notice the final challenge. Undesired. Verse 5, wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Their testimony was that they had been obedient. Up to that point, they had been obedient to God. But now they're desiring to stop that journey. Again, so close to the Jordan River, but they want to stop their traveling. You need to be careful when you say, God, please call me home. No, no. Finish the course. I don't have much longer, and you don't either. None of us do. But at 77, I compare it to the Bible, and I can't help but believe I'm 7 years over the finish line. But I've got to keep on my journey. I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers, desert places I've known. But I'm nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've gone too far to look back. I wish Reuben and the Gadites and Manasseh could have sang that song. But they decided to eliminate the final trial. That was getting across the Jordan River. By the way, Jordan River floods many times, and it took God to open up the river and to pack it on one side so they could get across following the priest in the ark. But they didn't want that final trial. I don't know what's in store for you or me, but there's going to be a final trial. You may have to lie on a hospital bed. You might have to fight a disease. But go ahead and finish that last trial. I can't help but they turned to the other Israelites and said, I hope you enjoy what God has for you. We're going to stay right where we're at. Our mind is made up. Boy, I hope your mind isn't made up not to cross the old chilly Jordan. John 12:48 says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. They're going to have to give an account of why they rejected what God had in store for them. And you and I will have to give. We'll have to stand before God one day. It says it is appointed that a man wants to die, and after death the judgment. You're going to have to give an account of why you didn't want to cross Jordan. See, they were dependent upon what they could see. I think we sang it tonight. This world is not my home. There shouldn't be anything down here that you're trying to hang on to. God's got something far better. But you got to cross the Jordan. When the novelist, Dr. A.J. Cronin, was a practicing physician in a small Welsh mining community, he worked with a remarkable nurse. For more than 20 years, Olivan Davies served the people with competence, patience, and cheerfulness. Her friend, the doctor, resented the inadequate salary with which her selfless work was rewarded. Late one night, after a particularly strenuous case, I ventured to protest to her as we drank a cup of tea together. Nurse, I said, why don't you make them pay you more? It's ridiculous that you should work for so little. She raised her eyebrows slightly, but she smiled. I have enough to get along. No, really, I protested and persisted. You ought to have an extra pound a week at least. God knows you're worth it. There was a pause. Her smile remained, but her gaze held a gravity and intensity that startled me. Doctor, she said, if God knows I'm worth it, that's all that matters. If God's the one that knows I'm worth it, that's all that matters. What do you see down here that you're hanging on to? Listen, get your mind upon traveling across Jordan and a Savior that'll walk with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus.